A year ago, we started doing lessons for a bus from the book of Proverbs. Now, as writing those lessons, I was just challenged by some of the truths in that book. As I was praying and thinking of what to preach on today, I just couldn't get this lesson out of my mind. It was definitely a conviction and a blessing in my life. So today, I would like to preach about the warnings of laziness from the book of Proverbs. Today, we're going to look at five simple warnings from this book. So in warning number one, turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. Proverbs 20, verse 13. Proverbs 20, verse 13 says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." Warning number one, love not sleep. First, notice in the passage, it doesn't say to hate sleep. We need our sleep. God planned for us to have sleep. Statistically, it's been proven that you need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. A study came out that said people who sleep 6 hours per night for 2 weeks straight are equally as fatigued as someone who stays up for 48 hours straight. Your body becomes renormalized, so you begin to feel a new normal and you forget what it feels like to feel like 100%. So we desperately need your sleep. You know, God has given us all things to enjoy, and sleep is definitely one of them. I love my bed. I love sleeping, get warm in there. But this passage is not talking about getting your needed sleep. It's talking about when you choose to sleep when it's not the right time. Sleeping when you should be doing other tasks. Sleeping is important, but there are more important things than sleep. We sleep to live, not live to sleep. You know, staying in bed when you should be getting up doing your devotions, when you should be getting up doing a project early, getting a jump start on something, you know, taking a nap instead of doing your homework, having a rest time instead of doing an outreach. Again, I'm not against sleep. I'm not against sleep. And sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. You know, if my baby doesn't have sleep, she's a wreck. And you know what? That's the same for us too. If we don't have sleep, sometimes we need to take a nap and get back on track. But too much sleep is a problem. You know, you're probably thinking right now, you know, my problem is not sleeping too much. It's not getting enough sleep. Well, that's probably true. That is probably true. But you know what? A lot of times we make bad decisions or we're lazy in other areas and we're forced to stay up much later than we're supposed to, and then we don't get enough sleep. And then it trashes us for the next day, and you're sleeping in chapel, you're sleeping in class, you don't wake up and do your devotions, you're too tired or you need to... You know what? I have found that, you know, recliner chairs are not comfortable unless you're doing your devotions. Then they're super comfortable. But going to bed and having laziness. In Proverbs 6, it says, go to the ant. Consider the ant, consider her ways and be wise. You know, the ant doesn't need somebody to wake it up. The ant takes around 250 naps a day. Unfortunately, they're only a minute long. But it doesn't need anybody. It doesn't have somebody to wake it up. It doesn't tell, go to sleep now, wake up now, get moving. No, it doesn't have that. You know, 1 year I was a room leader and I had two great guys. And but they had one problem. They didn't know how to get up. They just did not know how to do that. So being the nice room leader that I was super nice, I would wake them up. So almost every morning at like 6:29, I'd be doing my devotions, and I'd see the clock turn 6:29. I'd say, okay, guys, time to get up. And then they would slowly get up. One time I had enough. They were not learning the lesson. They just weren't. So I waited till 6:31, said, okay, guys, time to get up. Now it's 6:31, and then I wrote them up for it. So... But you don't need somebody to tell you to get up. If you have your roommates telling you to get up, that's laziness. You're adults. You know what? I have to tell my baby when to go to sleep. I have to tell my baby when to get up. As an adult, if you are still being told when to get up, if when you're at home on break and your parents are coming to your room waking you up, that's a shame. You guys are adults. You need to be getting up when you're supposed to be getting up. Get an alarm clock. Do what you have to do. But go to bed early, on time. Don't go to bed at midnight. Go to bed earlier and get up and get moving. Okay, warning number two. Warning number two, same chapter. Proverbs 6, verses 7 and 8. says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, talking about the ant, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Warning number two, work ahead. Here, the ant prepares food in the summer and collects in the harvest in the fall to prepare for the winter. The ant doesn't have a ruler to think ahead or for the future. The ants have a queen ant, but she's not an authority. She doesn't even have a way of communicating with all the ants. The ant realizes that life will be different later and prepares for it. They can't gather food in the winter, for it's too cold for them to even function. They have to rely on what they did in the summer and fall to keep them alive. God gave them the instinct of working ahead. Often we sacrifice the future on the altar of the present. We get so focused on what we're doing now that we miss opportunities later for not thinking ahead. One reason that we don't think ahead is that we lack future, lack purpose. Sometimes I look out on BCM students in life and I wonder what their purpose is in life. They have no drive. They have no purpose. They have no vision. They just seem like a bump on the log, like they're just drifting down on the river of life. Where is your purpose? You need to get purpose for your life. You're here at Bible college. That is great. But what is your purpose? What does God want in your life? Does he want you a missionary? Does he want you, working as a carpentry? God calls some people to do that. But does God want you as a pastor? Does God want you working with youth, elementary? I don't know. What purpose does God have in your life? You need to figure that out. You need to figure what direction God is leading you. God changes things up. I understand that. But what is he leading you right now? And then once you kind of figure that out, you need to go passionately for that. You know, that starts today. If God has called you to be a missionary, you need to start working ahead. If you know kind of where God's leading you, you need to start learning a language. Don't wait until you get to the field to start learning. You can do so much right now. If God has called you to work with youth, then work with youth right now. Find some way to work with them. You know, you need to work ahead. You know, you need to work ahead in school, in summer breaks, in easy classes. You know, we have spring break right now. You need to work ahead. You have fun, have a good time, but you need to work ahead on school. In the summer, you need to figure out your classes ahead of time, and skillfully and a good time, work ahead on your classes. I know several people that would just come in, not even thinking about summer, and then they get slammed in the fall because they didn't think ahead. Roland Amundsen, born in 1872 in Norway, dreamed of being a polar explorer. He spent his life preparing for the goal of reaching the Arctic poles. In order to get used to the cold of the Arctic, when he was young, he used to open up his window in the middle of the night and sleep with the window open. And this was Norway. Norway gets cold in the winter. So he worked ahead. He persevered to do that. And in 1911, he became the first man to reach the South Pole. Here is a man who was just determined. He was set his heart on being an Arctic explorer, and he prepared, even when he was young, all the way up to it. If this man can go something as vain as reaching the North Poles, can't we think ahead and start planning that way? You need to work ahead on your assignments, on what ministry God has prepared for you. So warning number one, love not sleep. Warning number two, work ahead. Warning number three, Proverbs 21:17. Proverbs 21:17, if you're there, he that loveth pleasure shall be poor. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Warning number three, don't love pleasure. Here, pleasure in this verse is referring to entertainment, partying, enjoyment. A person that loves entertainment and loves parties, merriment, will not be rich. He spends his time seeking to have fun rather than accomplish profitable tasks. I think we all have seen this in culture, where today we have gamers that just spend all of their time gaming. They have no real life. They have no real job. They have no purpose in life other than their game they're playing right now and getting to the next level, which is a super sad life. But you know, the opposite is true too. More respectable, but you have people living just for fishing outings. They spent all their time getting ready, planning, spending, saving up just to go on big fishing outings all week. They spent all their money on boats, ATVs, hunting items. And while those things are definitely not wrong, I'm not against fishing, but spending all your time making that your focus can be. You know, we live in a culture that loves to be entertained. The average American, they say right now, spends about 3 hours a day watching things. So if you add that up for a whole year, that would be about 2.5 months of straight watching TV. Just straight, just sitting down. That's a long time. That's a lot of your life. You know what? We are affected more by that culture than we like to realize. We have more time on our hands, more money on our hands in America than throughout people ever had through history. And I'm afraid we are affected by that. We want to be entertained. How much time does watching TV take up for you? Sports games, scrolling YouTube, movies? You know, your access here at school is limited, but how's it like at home and during the summer at breaks on the weekends? You know, I'm not even talking about if a content is right or wrong. I'm asking, how much time do you spend? How much time do you spend on leisure, playing basketball, hanging out on friends, versus time on outreach and prayer? People make time for things they love. I know a person in college that I'm friends with, and I remember asking him several times if he wanted to go out soul winning with me. Like, I want to go out. And he didn't seem like he ever had time. But if I asked the same person, hey, do you want to play ping pong? Always had time. You know what? It's probably not a fair comparison between ping pong and outreach, but it made a note in my mind what his priorities were in life. Some of the things aren't wrong, and there's a time and a place for ping pong and basketball and other things, but are we seeking Jesus? Are we seeking pleasure? Many times in my life, I wonder if I'm actually seeking more of pleasure than I am of Jesus, more of a relaxing time than I do want from him. David Wilkerson, if you know of him, the founder of Teen Challenge, talks about the time when he gave up his TV viewing to spend time in prayer in his book, The Cross of the Switch Plague. Read a section of this. How much do I spend in front of the TV screen each night, I wondered. A couple of hours at least. What would happen, Lord, if I sold my TV set and spent that time praying? What would happen if I spent 2 hours every single night praying? It was an exhilarating idea, substituting prayer for television and see what happened. Well, he asked God to give him a sign if that was indeed what God wanted him to do. He asked God to help him sell his TV a half an hour after the advertisement in the paper was published. And sure enough, after half an hour, his TV had sold. And he writes this after that experience. My life has not been the same since. Every night at midnight, instead of flipping a few dials, I step into my office, close the door, and begin to pray. You know, David Wilkerson was mightily used to reach teens in New York City and then started different chapters throughout the country and world. But his life changed at this moment when he decided to get rid of pleasure and spend time with Jesus. Warning number 4, Proverbs 20, verse 4, should be right there. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. The sluggard will not work because it is cold, but later on he will lack because he does not have food. You know, often we live by our feelings. If we don't want to do something, whether it's hard work, we're not feeling good, we have a headache, we got up on the wrong side of the bed, we just don't want to do things, and we don't. You know, we don't need to necessarily shy away from hard work just because it's hard and it'll take time. We need to be wise in what we commit to. You can't do everything, but we can do far more than what we think we can. You know, sometimes we just have to plow in the cold. Okay, warning number 5. Here we go. Ready? Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is it talks about the virtuous woman, and there's so much to learn from her. As a man and as a woman, there's just so many principles. We're going to look at one here. We're going to look at verse 16 and verse 24. Verse 16, it says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. And in verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. and delivereth girdles unto merchants. Warning number five, take initiative. Here, this virtuous woman, she finds a field. She looks for a field. She finds it. She buys it, and she plants a vineyard. You know, planting a vineyard is not a small task at all. First, you have to clear the land of any debris, shrubbery, vines, weeds. Then you have to plant it. You have to fertilize it. You know, back then, the best fertilizer they had was manure. And, you know, that's not always a pleasant task, working with animal manure to fertilize a thing. So we read over these verses so fast, it only took us a couple seconds, when we forget how much work was involved in this task. So much work, so much hard work described. Here she makes clothes and sells it to merchants. You know, it's not the cheap Walmart knockoff brand that she's making here. She has fine linen. She digs hard work and is able to sell it. She took initiative and accomplished a lot. Remember, this virtuous woman, as you read the whole passage, she's a very, very busy woman. She has a husband. She has a household that she prepares for each day. And she has family, children. You know, a mother's job, now that we have a baby, I realized it's a full-time job. You know, a baby wants your attention all the time. There's so much things to do in the household. And then, yet this woman found time to take initiative and do something beyond her household, beyond what she was normally doing to increase her family. Many times, we don't take initiative because we see the hard work that is involved. In ministry and business, those that take initiative succeed. Probably all familiar with Elon Musk to some extent or the other. He has started multiple different companies. And now he's working with Doge to clean out wasteful spending and whatever else he finds. But, you know, the guy has initiative. You got to respect that. I think he might have too much initiative, but you got to respect him for it. And he just perseveres to the end. As Christians, we are commanded to have initiative. We are told in the Great Commission to go, not to stay put. The Apostle Paul had initiative. He wanted to take the gospel to those that did not have it yet. He wasn't content with what was accomplished. He was always pressing forward. The Ephesian church, we see, had initiative. They reached their entire region with the gospel. Philip, Barnabas, Timothy, just to name a few, all showed initiative. You know what? We need to take initiative. We need to go after things, do hard work. You know, things don't get done. Things don't progress without people taking initiative. Is there some initiative, some way to make your Sunday school better? Some way to make your elementary, your teen group, I don't know, your deaf ministry? Is there some way that you could take initiative and make that better? You know, is there a way to make your fellowship better? Make it a better experience? Is there an opportunity that needs to be explored for your job? Is there an academic challenge that you need to pursue? You know, don't be a bump in the log. Just don't be status quo. See what God would have you to do for an initiative. Take some initiative. You know, as we go over these warnings here, I'm so burdened. I'm so burdened, especially in pleasure and in this taking initiative, that we all succeed in this. I look through many churches and, well, like, where's the initiative? You look at people and they don't do much for Christ because they're just seeking their own pleasure. And while I think we're all here, we want to serve Jesus. We all want to go forward for him. I think probably most of us here want to serve him full time in some capacity. I think we're all burdened by our self-seeking pleasure. We have so much we want to do rather than doing things for God. You know, here, this isn't a self-help message. I'm not beating you like, oh, do better. Really, we're just talking about obedience and disobedience to Jesus' promptings in your life. You know, he doesn't want you wasting time. He doesn't want you not working ahead. When we don't work ahead or we make excuses, we're actually pushing away the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That we need spirit-enabled character. You know, I'm burdened that in your life, your future families, and your ministry, that you don't ignore these warnings. The lack of spirit-driven initiative in our churches is hindering the spread of the gospel, where people don't want to do hard work and take risks. We spend far too much time seeking personal pleasure than the things of God. We come up with excuses to justify our laziness, and we are fine with the status quo, and we don't think ahead to the future. and we fail in the basics of life of just getting up. I'm afraid you're going to wake up one day and realize it's winter. The harvest is past. It's cold outside and you're hungry and there's nothing to eat. And then you wish you had taken heed to these warnings. Love not sleep. Work ahead. Love not pleasure. Don't make excuses and take initiative.